Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk with the Marine Corps League and find out what the Goodman Group is doing for veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week, our nation celebrates the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He may be remembered most for the speech he delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. In that 1963 speech, Dr. King famously said, "I have a dream." Even more powerful than that iconic moment, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a distinguished leader. He had the courage to act on his convictions in spite of danger. He challenged the nation to live out the true meaning of its creed, that all people are created equal, and they have the right to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. Finally, Dr. King was inclusive. He set out to bring us together, not to tear us apart. Inspired by Dr. King, the Minnesota National Guard is committed to building and sustaining an organizational climate in which people of diverse backgrounds, cultures, races, religions, and ethnicities are fully included, valued, and respected. The challenges in Minnesota will be met by the Minnesota National Guard, comprised of diverse citizen soldiers and airmen. Tomorrow, many of us in the Minnesota National Guard will join the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s breakfast in Minneapolis and celebrate his life, reflect on his dream, and remember a man who showed a nation how to lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Marine Corps League is Jerry Walters, who's the Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League, also the Commandant, Heartland Detachment 473, Brainerd, Minnesota, and the Vice Commandant, North Region Department of Minnesota. Jerry, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
That's a lot of titles, Jerry.
Yes, it is. Too many, but I'm happy and I'm proud to take part in all of those.
Filling a lot of jobs for the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota.
I do with my best.
All right. I want to go back in time now.
Okay.
To 1958.
Wow.
What caused you to want to sign up for the United States Marine Corps?
Well, a little discouraged with Minnesota winters. College was not exactly my cup of tea, so I thought, well, I'll go in and see what I can find out. And so I did, and I went in, and I was happy with what the Marine recruiter in St. Cloud, Minnesota told me, and I was hooked.
Now, did you come from a military family?
No. I have most of my family. I have a brother that was in the Korean War as a Coast Guardsman, and another brother who was gone but was not in the military, and many uncles and cousins that were in the military. But other than my brother, I was the first of our family.
And you had the choice of any service you wanted to go into.
Yes.
And what brought you to the Marine Corps?
Well, I was kind of a rough and tough wild kid. I loved the outdoors, born and raised in the country, and hunting, fishing, and all the rest of it, hiking and just taking off and doing things. And I thought the Marine Corps would be my place to show off what I could do, which I thought was pretty good until I got there.
Until you got to basic training.
There you go.
And where was that?
San Diego, at Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego. And I have to say, contrary to what people say in Marines might have gone through, I liked it.
It wasn't a wake-up call when you got
there? It was not a wake-up call for me. I had quite a journey to get there. I went out on my own. I got away from the group that we were sent out with, so I ended up walking up to the gate and telling them I was a Marine. And they told me, quick hurry, that I wasn't, but they would send me to the right place.
They'd fix that.
They fixed that in a hurry, but I really enjoyed it. I took what they dished out, and I didn't let it get to me, and I came through with, I think, flying colors.
But after you got out of basic training, where'd you end up going?
Well, I guess they knew that I was from northern Minnesota and the snow and everything else, so I was sent out to the desert in 29 Palms, California, to the Missile Artillery Base.
And what type of job did you have in the Marine Corps, Jim?
Well, I was, for me, I was happy. I was a bandsman, and which means that I had to play music, which I was a musician before, among other things, before I enlisted. And I really enjoyed going out and performing and playing my trumpet, and I did that, and I never regret it.
And did you stay in California for your entire enlistment?
Yes, I did. A few highlights and always the lowlights out there, but I enjoyed it, and I was never, like they said, you go where they send you, and you do what they tell you, and I was never offered, or I was offered to go to Washington, D.C. and try out for the Marine Corps band, the Marine Band. And I tried out, but I declined going.
So you stayed in California?
I stayed in California.
And played in the band for the United States Marine Corps out there?
Yes, I did.
Did you have to pull some strings to get this cushy duty?
No. It was cushy. Two rose parades. They're quite lengthy and long, but personal escort for us younger generation that remembers Jane Mansfield at a celebration in Palm Springs, California, and a few other things. So really good memories.
Now, Jerry, I've heard some people call the United States Air Force the country club of the military service, but I've never met a Marine that played in the band for 6 years.
Well, there's a lot to do, and we are bandsmen, but first and foremost, Marines are Marines, and we are riflemen. We do our training. We do this. We have our brothers in arms, and we're there to assist all of them. And I'm not the quote-unquote ground pounder, but when push comes to shove, I'll be right there next to him if it need be, and I will today as well.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
That is definitely correct.
And, Jerry, I just have to ask you this. Your career after you get out of the Marines?
I went back to college and became a band director and got my degree and became a band director, and I still perform and direct today. After 40 years of the education part of it, I still perform in community bands. And my highest honor is being asked to perform Taps for the Fallen.
Yeah, and I'll bet your bands all know how to play the Marine Corps anthem.
Oh, they sure do.
Well, good for you, Jerry. We're speaking with Jerry Walters, the Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, we should get down to work here. The Marine Corps League in Minnesota. Who's eligible to join and what do you do?
Well, first of all, Marine Corps League is one of the 9 congressionally approved military organizations in the country. Our eligibility for regular membership is any Marine who has been honorably discharged, a Navy corpsman, or a Navy chaplain, which has served with Marines, the Fleet Marine Corps, Fleet Marine Force chaplains, and Fleet Marine Force corpsmen, they're called. We have regular members, like myself and those individuals. We have associate members, which can be military. In my detachment, we have, I think, at least four Army personnel, Air Force. We've got a Canadian 2-star general as a member of our associate member of our detachment. They're interested in what we do and helping veterans in particular, and of course the Marines, and they support our actions. We have an auxiliary of the for the females, and this is any relative of a Marine to help us in support for what we do as well.
Jerry, we haven't talked about this much on this show, but the United States Marine Corps has a real special relationship with the Navy corpsmen and the Navy chaplains, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. They are our lifeblood. I know of no Marine who thinks less. In fact, most of them think higher of the Navy corpsman and chaplain than they do of some of the Marines that they've been with. The honor and the camaraderie between the groups is just unbelievable. The Navy corpsmen will go through their own basic training, and they'll go through the training with the Marines, and we are one. We really are.
And they're right there with you when you go off to war.
Oh, they certainly are.
Pretty important.
Sometimes
guys.
Ahead of us.
Well, and you kind of got to watch after them while they're taking care of you, too.
That's right. That's right. And we do.
So back to the Marine Corps League. We just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. What's the mission of Minnesota's Marine Corps League?
The mission of the Marine Corps League, quite bluntly to me, is helping veterans. One of our major programs as the Marine Corps League is Marines helping Marines. But by no means is that limited to just Marines. We try to better the lives of all veterans. We have some means and ways to do that through the different various organizations, the legislative processes, personal training that we have, professional training, education for veterans, and as well as our members, and anything that can help just build a camaraderie between veterans as a whole, and of course the Marine Corps League with our own Marines.
Jerry, how many members do you have in Minnesota?
I will say approximately 750 in that range right now.
Any estimate of how many Marine veterans we have in Minnesota?
No, I do not. There are many more, and I wish more we could find, and we do our best to get out there and stump for ourselves. But it's we don't beg for members. If they hear about us, they'll come to us. That's what the Marines do.
Now, do you call them detachments? How many groups of in the Marine Corps League around the state?
We have 14 detachments of Marines Corps League around the state, from Bemidji down to Rochester, Mankato, Alexandria, around Minneapolis, St. Paul. There's several around here, Willmar, Litchfield, and ours in Brainerd, St. Cloud. And I'm forming one now in Grand Rapids, and hopefully we'll have another one going in Stillwater, and soon another detachment starting up in the Duluth area.
Jerry, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the things that go on when your Marine Corps League members meet, and then also talk about your relationship with the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota.
Fine.
We're talking to Jerry Walters, Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Jerry Walters, who is the Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League. And, Jerry, we talked a little bit about you went into the United States Marine Corps in 1958. At least I think it was a Marine Corps.
Yes.
But all you had to do was play in a band. Pretty cushy duty. And get out in 64, and you stuck with that because you've been teaching band your entire life.
That is correct.
The Marine Corps started you on a pretty good path, didn't
they? Yes, they did. They started a lot of Marines had their lives reborn and remade during the Marine Corps service, whatever their length of tour service was.
And you got a pretty good draw that time, Jerry.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's get back to the Marine Corps League. You've got people all over Minnesota. You've got detachments all over Minnesota, some new ones coming up. If a Marine in Minnesota joins the Marine Corps League and they go to a monthly meeting, you have monthly meetings?
Correct.
What happens at those meetings and what kind of things do you work on?
Well, we have our military procedure for starting and ending. Of course, our flag is number one. And our members are number two. We honor our country. We honor all veterans. We honor our active duty personnel. And by the way, active duty Marines can be part of the Marine Corps League. And we have detachments in the East Coast where the Marine bases are, which are made up of active duty Marines. So it is not uncommon to have both Marines, active Marines and veteran Marines together. But we do a lot of things. Primary concern is helping ourselves. We honor our families. The Marines' families is a deep part of our beliefs. Marines helping Marines, I mentioned that before. The Wounded Marine Program, we're deeply involved with that, helping the Marines who come back in and are disabled in one way or another from their service. We have young Marine programs with the youth scholarship programs. We have the Marine Youth Physical Fitness Program, all designed at the youth of our country, which is some of us a little longer in the tooth know they're our future. I'm part of this, but my mind is getting down to the years here. So we look forward to increasing our youth and encouraging them in the ways and means of democracy and what we think that our country should be doing and what our Marine Corps should be doing.
So you serve as a resource for Marines in your area.
Yes,
we do. If they have some kind of a need, you try to get them to the right person, maybe the County Veteran Service Officer or the VA Medical Center.
Yes.
And also you do some things for the community in general.
Yes, we do. And our biggest one in many of the detachments throughout the country, not just in Minnesota, but is the Toys for Kids, once again, recognizing our children's needs. Toys for Tots, yes, I don't mean to use one over the other. Detachments have different names. If you are incorporated, like my detachment is, we're Toys for Kids. But our main goal is to raise and to help out the families that cannot afford something for this time of the year. And whether it be a toy they can't get, we work through the Salvation Army as an ally for their clothing and their food and their toys, and making families and that can't normally do something for the young ones have a happy time of the year.
So each of your detachments has things they do out throughout the year?
Yes, they do. We service a community, whether it be making the military presence known at a at a local sports event, a local parade, whether it be the major parades, homecoming parades, 4th of July, of course, Memorial Day services and Veterans Day services, Flag Day. All of these days are represented by our Marine Corps League members in their communities, visiting the schools, elementary and junior high school and senior high schools, and as well as nursing homes, visiting all of us, hospital visitations, anything we can to encourage both the youth and the veteran themselves.
We're speaking with Jerry Walters, the Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, as the Department Commandant for the Marine Corps League, as you said, that's one of nine federally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. You all come together in what's called the Commander's Task Force, and you go over there and you have some meetings, and part of that is to combine the membership from all of the veteran service organizations and talk about some legislation and go up to the Capitol Hill and see what you can do to help your fellow veterans.
That is correct. In my part, the Marines and the detachments will, of course, we are separate entities working together. And if they have some concerns or questions, why we combine those and it comes down to me, and then I can present them to the task force, whether this be a issue for just the Marine Corps, but most likely it's an issue for veterans in general, in making sure that we honorably service our veterans, whether they're young veterans just returning from duty or they're the elderly veterans of the past. You know, we want to see that everybody gets their fair due. And I always say, you know, without the veterans, we might not have a country, and we need to honor those. And that's what, as a Commander's Task Force member, and the members I've talked to, I think we all understand the same thing. We're here to help each other and to better our community's veterans' lives.
And Jerry, what would you have to say to the Marines out there listening that might not belong to the Marine Corps League today, even if they don't have time to be active in the detachment, if they joined, they'd add their voice to the other voices when you go up to the Capitol Hill and talk to the legislatures, wouldn't they?
That is correct. We're not all retired. You know, many of the Marine Corps League members and many Marines obviously are working out after their time in service, whether it's they're a 20-year veteran or a 30-year veteran or a 4-year veteran. They have lives to live, but we have places for them and things for them to do. There's going to be times when just meeting together for the camaraderie of your fellow Marines with you at a meeting, discussing things, Marines helping Marines. If you have a problem, I'll try to help you. If you've got something going on at the house that needs to be worked, I can be there for you. Helping in the public when you can. And of course, voicing your concern for our Commander's Task Force and working together to better all veterans.
Jerry, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners out there and for all those Marines that might not belong to your organization yet?
Well, I would encourage all Marines to look into the Marine Corps League. If they need more information, like I mentioned, some of the cities involved before, look for the sign for the Marine Corps. Look for the web. We have a Facebook page, the Marine Corps League of Minnesota. We're still working on our national website to be put back up. It's off now. But some of the detachments have their own websites. Look into see what we've got to offer. I think they're all going to be very pleased with what they find, and I can guarantee they'll be welcomed with open arms, and they will enjoy their stay with the Marine Corps League.
Jerry, I want to thank you for driving down to be with us today in the studio on Minnesota Military Radio, and I hope you have a great year.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Thank you, Jerry. That was Jerry Walters, the Commandant, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League on Minnesota Military Radio. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Minnesota's first state agency to be proclaimed a Yellow Ribbon Company. They have dedicated $75,000 to a recruit, employ, and retain initiative that assists staff in translating military skills to civilian skills. DNR senior managers and supervisors have received military sensitivity training and learned firsthand the challenges experienced by returning service members transitioning to civilian life. The DNR is using its unique position to promote the healing benefits of nature nature-based activities to veterans and their families. This is a growing prescription for developing resiliency in our armed forces. Partnering with other nature-based organizations, these activities improve overall mental health, reduce symptoms of PTSD, and assist with coping strategies. The DNR has been a Yellow Ribbon company since June 2013 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about a new Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King, Jr. federal holiday as a National Day of Service. This milestone is the perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all, and encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying the principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live, creating the beloved community. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. Volunteer at a veterans home, a VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is a frequent guest on the show, Annette Kuiper. And Annette, I always forget this. What's your title with Yellow Ribbon?
Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs.
You know, after all these years, I should remember that, shouldn't I?
I know.
Annette, how are we doing with, you've had a big push lately for Yellow Ribbon companies the last couple of years. How are we doing?
Yes, Tom. We've partnered with companies across Minnesota, really across the nation, that are doing amazing things in support of our veterans, service members, and military families. And we have 49 Yellow Ribbon companies to date, and we're very excited when they join our group to make commitments in the area of supporting service members, veterans, and military families in recruiting, hiring, and retaining, in military-connected employee support, and military-connected community support.
And they all get together to help out various causes.
Yes, twice a year we bring our Yellow Ribbon companies together to share best practices and update them on military initiatives. And they are just doing amazing things across the state.
And Annette, I know that some of those companies are public and some are private, and you've got a good private family business here today.
Yes, today I brought along the Goodman Group, who is doing, they were already doing some amazing things in honoring veterans and veteran employees, supporting their employees and supporting their residents. And I really wanted to bring them along today to talk a little bit about all the great things that the Goodman Group is doing.
So we have with us today John Goodman. John, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
John, I'm familiar with you and some of your work because I've worked with some of your people for a few years, and you've been supporting the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic for several years. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm glad to do it.
Now, I understand you were recently proclaimed Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, yes. And we were, at that point, one of 47 companies, now one of 49, and we're pleased. We're the first senior care company and residential property company to be honored in that fashion in Minnesota, so thank you.
John, can you give us a little bit of the history of the Goodman Group and where it started and,
sure.
and what you do today?
We just celebrated our 50th anniversary this year, and we were started in 1965. My father, who was a beer distributor, sold his beer distributorship and put some money into a medical building, and that didn't work out so well. So the next thing I knew, I was going to school and just gotten out of the service, the Coast Guard. And next thing I knew, I was leasing space to doctors for 8 years. And so that's kind of how we got into real estate. I remember in the early days at HUD would foreclose on mortgages, and they would pick them up and put them out to the highest bidder. So we found a property in this is back in the 70s, early 70s, in Las Vegas, Nevada, that was made of aluminum. Alcoa had built it, the walls, the ceilings. It took $300,000, and we had to get 30 people together to raise $10,000 each. So that's kind of the early days. I started in 1970, now we're just pleased to celebrate our 50th year and proud of what we've done over the years.
Now, you have a lot of facilities around the country, and you've got some here in the Twin Cities?
Yes, we have a property here in Eagan, Commons on Morris. And also, we have a learning center next to the Commons for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. And we get both generations together on a regular basis, as well as property in St. Anthony.
And it's my understanding that throughout your facilities all around the country, you've got a number of veterans that live with you.
Yes. We're proud of the fact that we have 150 veterans in our employment, and we serve over 400 veterans in our facilities.
And when I first met some of your folks, they were questioning me about what can we do to help those veterans, and I think they organized some trips up to Camp Ripley, up to the Minnesota Military Family Museum, and we showed them where they could get some speakers that come in, and I was impressed with the level of dedication of your employees that wanted to try to keep your veterans connected with today's service people.
Yes, it's very important, and a lot of our employees, we have an employee base of 4,200, they have family members that have served in the military, and we're glad and proud of helping to support them in their efforts. One of the women in Montana, in Billings, Montana, through a donation we made, started a program to get all the veterans in Montana to the World War II Museum in Washington, D.C. And it was a wonderful program. She was able to raise, after we got started, $1,400,000. She had 150 different fundraisers, and now we're proud to say she's Tina, West Park Village in Billings, Montana, and our company, we've taken 722 all the veterans in Montana to the World War II Museum, and I have some statistics on that if you want to go into it later.
We're speaking with John Goodman from the Goodman Group, which was proclaimed Yellow Ribbon this year on Minnesota Military Radio. John, one of the requirements of being a Yellow Ribbon company is to connect with local Yellow Ribbon networks. Are you digging into that here in Minnesota and elsewhere?
Yes. Yeah, and I just enjoyed visiting with Mike with for Toys for the Military Families, and I think there's ways that we can help support one another and do additional caring between Yellow Ribbon companies if we put our heads together and find out what needs to be taken care of and what we can help fulfill through either helping on a political basis or helping on a financial basis or a programmatical basis. We can get together and help one another.
Well, it sounds like you're really into this, John.
I am. I was fortunate to serve in the military. My father was served in the Coast Guard also, and so I have a tremendous respect and gratitude for those who have put their lives on the line and serve to keep our freedoms going here every day. So God bless all the veterans.
We're glad to have a Coast Guard family in here. When we've had Coast Guard on the show before, we had to get them all the way from Duluth to have them come into the show. So whenever next time we need a Coastie, we'll call you.
Okay, good.
John, I understand one of the programs for your residents is called Valiant Veteran.
Yes. We think that the Valiant Veteran program is it's a life enrichment program we created in 2010 that is open to anyone who has served in the U.S. military, as well as their spouses, family member, and friends. The program has been tremendous. We give our veterans a chance to talk with one another, share stories, commemorate unique times in American history. It's such an honor for us to host this event, or these events around the country. It really gives us a chance to honor their service to our country. Our residents and guests are proud of their service, and so they share the most amazing stories of courage and valor and commitment. So we're proud to host these events around the country.
John, a lot of your residents, the ones that are veterans that you're talking about, I suppose some of them retired and they're looking for things to do, and it looks like your people are sure working hard to make sure that they're stayed interested and stayed connected.
Yes. In fact, we've had so far to date 33,000 volunteer hours with both veterans and other community members in our facilities around the country. And I think having a sense of purpose is so vitally important. To give you kind of an idea of some of the people that we've taken on our honor flights, it's really fascinating because we've taken in the last go around in 2014, we took 76 men and one woman, and they range from age 83 to 96. And so we believe that the spirit is always alive within us. I think even we have to kind of look at how we view aging and death and making transitions in our lives. But the human spirit deserves dignity. And so we're proud to help people and showcase their dignity and help support them in their body, mind, spirit, and emotional well-being.
And Ed, it sounds like you found an easy one this time. With all the things that John and the Goodman Group are doing over there, putting together their plan, it had to be a piece of cake.
Right away, I knew, working with the Goodman Group, that they were doing so many great things. It was so easy to put together their action plan, and I was amazed. It allowed us to see at the state level all the great things that they were doing to support their employees, to support their veterans, residents, and to really give back to our communities. We just couldn't believe how fortunate we were to get a great partner as the Goodman Group.
Thank you. Thank you. It's our pleasure. Thank you.
With all of the, how many networks do we have now?
So we have 97 community networks in 218 cities and 26 counties. And then we have 49 companies, and we'll be proclaiming on November 10th, Southeast Technical College in Red Wing will be our next Yellow Ribbon company.
Well, I'm glad you finally got an easy one to put through the plan.
Yes.
After all the rest of those you're working on. John, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about a little bit more about all the great things that the Goodman Group's doing. We're speaking to John Goodman from the Goodman Group on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Annette Kuiper and John Goodman from the Goodman Group, which was proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company this year, and one of the easiest Yellow Ribbon networks that Annette has put together for many years. And John, when we were talking at the break, you told me that you've written a book. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, I wrote a book called The Road to Self and a companion piece of sayings called Moments Matter. And it's from reflections, they say, from a soulful CEO. But the idea of the book was to really help people with present moment awareness. And we've given that now to all our team members. And we really want to encourage them to have that present moment awareness and live in the present, because that's all we have. If we're thinking about yesterday or wondering about tomorrow, we're missing the beautiful moments that are right now. And so in helping, giving them a kind of mindfulness was the idea of the book. And through shared stories, I think people hopefully can gain some insight into rewriting their scripts and learning to be present, you know, just in compassionate listening.
Now, John,
we know that you can cut the use of psychotic drugs in half by really being there for somebody, not trying to finish their sentences or think about what you're going to do and just stay present. So there's a lot of ability and mindfulness that I think they're bringing into schools and they're bringing into other healthcare settings, because especially with post-traumatic stress, I think that mindfulness and meditation and being present is very helpful.
Now, John, is that book available to our listeners?
Yes, on Amazon.com, and it's again called Road to Self, and the companion piece book is Moments Matter.
By John B. Goodman. John, I want to get back to your Yellow Ribbon designation, and you clearly are doing a lot of work to get behind this. What would you like to tell other companies about making military support a commitment within their organization?
Well, I think that very simply that businesses should understand and demonstrate that people who are entering civilian life from their military experience, they have tremendous skills, leadership, integrity, unbelievable assets that we can apply to business. So some of the things that we're doing in our effort to continue our Yellow Ribbon status is that we're integrating leaders at the Valiant Veterans events with a specific focus on creating community opportunities for education and collaboration. We recognize our military veterans at all our company events. We make sure our Valiant Veterans and other veteran-friendly corporate initiatives are clearly communicated on our websites and collateral materials. Our human resources ensures open career positions are posted to military and veteran-specific career sites. We do a lot at veteran job fairs. We volunteer when and where we can at local military veteran reintegration efforts to help them with their resumes and review preparations in getting jobs for them. We support hiring veterans for temporary, short, and long-term positions in our company. And we're in the process of creating and implementing a differential pay policy for Minnesota. So in that event, the team members are called active service. They'd receive their full salary, less the military pay, for a number of months from the last day they worked. In addition, they'll have the option of continuing medical, prescription, and dental coverage at active employee rates. So we provide a lot of education, lunch and learn sessions, to educate them on the Yellow Ribbon programs, policies, and best practices. And then we created surveys at corporate to distribute to all our military and veteran employees requesting their feedback and recommendations, because they have a lot of great information that they can bring forth and work hand in hand with us.
And Ned, I think if you weren't there running that program, John could probably do it.
No kidding. They are just amazing at the Goodman Group. And to send some of their HR personnel out to our recent return of our medical supply company on a beautiful Saturday at their reintegration and have those people willing to sit with our service members and look at their resume really shows the dedication of this organization to supporting our military.
John, it sounds to me like you're leading a great organization and really leading the way in being a good corporate citizens in this community and all over the country.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I really do encourage all of you that are listening, especially the companies that may be involved, please get out, do more of this. We have to get outside of ourselves, be of service to one another. And I just believe that, you know, that's not a job. It's our duty. So I wish all the veterans, thank you. I want to thank you and appreciate all your dedication to your service. May God bless you and your families.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Annette, 30 seconds left. Can you find more companies like the Goodman Group?
Yes, we're going to ask the Goodman Group to help us find some of their other healthcare companies that we can get involved in and join us. And when we come together twice a year for our companies, we always ask them to share their best practices like this to ensure that we have this all over Minnesota in all of our organizations across Minnesota. So this is just the start of it. And we appreciate the Goodman Group and all their dedication and support that they've given from the beginning. And we look forward to just not only enhancing our relationship with them, but connecting them to more military within the state.
Thanks, Annette. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
This is Annette Kuiper from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and John Goodman from the Goodman Group on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you again for having me.
Good to have you, sir. I understand that the Minneapolis VA reached a milestone of sorts with its polytrauma program. Can you tell me? I have two questions. First, what do you mean by polytrauma? And second, what was the occasion?
Sure. Good. Thanks, Tom. So polytrauma is another way of saying sort of multiple trauma or a patient who has been subjected to multiple traumatic injuries. So we celebrated recently our 10th anniversary of our polytrauma center, which opened in 2005. We were originally one of four nationwide, and now there are five, but you know, originally Minneapolis, along with Palo Alto, Richmond, and Tampa, had polytrauma centers, and so it was largely when the war started. And so we're getting a lot of active duty service members coming back with, you know, blast injuries, along with some mental health issues and TBI, and so complex patients, multiple injuries, and we were one of four sites in the VA that took these veterans, and so now we have seen over 300 service members, active duty service members, and our polytrauma unit is still active and open, but it's not as many active duty service members as when we first started. Now it's a lot of motor vehicle accidents and that kind of thing, but it's kind of the place in our medical center where we take care of the sickest of the sick. And so celebrated our 10th year anniversary, and it's been a good program, and it's I hope we have it here for many, many more years to come.
So, Director, was that caused by the fact that a lot of our troops in the last 10 years are surviving more serious injuries these days?
Well, very much so. So, you know, it was originally intended. I was on active duty when all this started, and so we had some large centers, Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Bethesda, San Diego on the West Coast, but a lot of service members who had multiple traumatic injuries, you know, lived somewhere else. Their families were in the Midwest, and so it was recognized a need for these very severely hurt veterans to be near their families or be in a place where they could get their care that was healing in that way as well. So, yeah, it started with the war. Again, that has lessened, thank God, but a lot of veterans previously would not have survived their injuries, now survived. They were really hurt. They were really sick. And we needed a place that could address all those requirements at the same time. So we were one of those four. And like I say, it's been It's a great service. We have a staff that's very dedicated, and we have a good medical center here, so we can take care of a lot of different needs right here within our four walls.
Director, I understand you're keeping your construction hard hat right by your desk. A lot of stuff going on.
Let me mention three projects, Tom. So one is we are covering the walkway from the parking ramp to the medical center. So you know, our parking ramp been a big success. Opened March over a year now, and so it's busy. But walking outdoors in the winter is tough, and so we are covering that. And that project starts in the spring. We're not going to get it done for this winter, but that'll be a good project. We're also starting in the spring. What we're referring to as Veterans East housing. So across the street on our campus, by the old hospital, we are building 120 units for veterans that are at risk for homelessness. So affordable housing for veterans. We have one of those units over there now. This will be our second, and again, that's located across the street from the main hospital. And then finally, a big project in the hospital is we're remodeling our third floor in order to house our comprehensive chronic pain management program. So that's started now. It's going to the pain management center is going to open this summer, but the project will continue for another year. And we're bringing together a lot of our pain management services under one shingle at one location. So big project, almost two-year project, but it'll be a good benefit to veterans when we get that completed.
Director, we just got about 30 seconds left. I understand you're looking for some good employees.
We are always looking for good employees. Tom, you know, our greatest need right now is for nurses. And so, you know, we employ over 1,000 full-time nurses here, and so it is a continuous recruitment to get good nurses here. And so if any of your listeners are nurses, they want to work at the Minneapolis VA, get a hold of us. We'd love to bring them here.
Well, Director, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
My pleasure, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jerry Walters, John Goodman, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelato, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week when we hear about Twin Cities Public Television's Going to War and find out about what's going on with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.